Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. The title of his message is, The City That God's Love Prepared. The text is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 14.
Well, I'd like to welcome those of you that are here for the High School Music Festival and Sermon Contest. I trust that you'll all do your very best in your contest and that you'll learn a great deal while you're here, and that the Lord will speak to your heart from the messages you hear and the songs that touch your heart. I often tell the young people here that I found a definition one time in the Mishnah, a document written about 800 years before Christ, in which one of the Levites responsible for the music in the temple said that God gave man music to prepare the heart of the believer to hear the voice of God. Anytime I hear a good choral group or a choir or singing, a good solo, it prepares my heart to hear the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Just a few moments, I'll read you the first 14 verses of Revelation 21. This message started in my heart a little over 20 years ago. The time that these thoughts came to my mind, I was sitting in a funeral home in Atlanta with a man that had been my mentor for many years and in many ways my best friend. His wife had just passed away. She had gone through a very long bout with cancer. Traveled around the country to different cancer research centers, had had numerous surgeries, chemotherapy, radiation, fought a long and very hard battle with this terrible disease. At that time, the Holy Spirit moved upon my heart, and I recognized that she was in a far better place, that she had served her probation on this earth. For life here, young people, is really just a probation for the next life, which will last forever. And ever since I had the thought about eternity and heaven, every time someone that I know well or is close to me passes away, my mind goes back to this passage of Scripture that I'm about to read to you. Mrs. Jones last night was transferred from Greenville, South Carolina to heaven. She opened her eyes in heaven and saw the splendor of the city that God's love prepared. That's the title of the message today, The City That God's Love Prepared. This city has long been sought for. The Bible tells us that Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Early on in the book of Genesis, in the 11th chapter, men decided that they were going to find God's place of habitation and they were going to get to heaven by building a tower to heaven. We can look back at that and it seems a rather comical event to us today, knowing something more about science and the vastness of space and the distance of the planets from us, the thought of man trying to build a material way to get to heaven. And yet, as strange as that sounds and as silly as it is, men are still doing that today. They're trying to build a way to get to heaven by their own work, their own efforts, their own merits, and it'll really never happen. Hebrews chapter 11 talked about the heroes of the faith who died in faith, not having received the promises. And the Scripture says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. John chapter 14, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I want you to think about this, my friends. Just imagine that you were all powerful, omnipotent, that you had unlimited resources totally and absolutely unlimited. You owned all the wealth of the universe. And it came to your mind to prepare a place of eternal habitation for all those you love, for your family, for your friends. Just what would it be like? What about this city that was built by God for His people? A city prepared by God's love. A God that has all the power and all the resources the universe will ever know. This has got to be a very special place. I hope and pray all of you, all under the sound of my voice, will find your eternal habitation in this city. But I also know that there are many here this morning that do not know Christ as your personal Savior, that will not know the joy of this city. Listen to the description of this city as found in Revelation chapter 21. John the Apostle speaking. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, which names were written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." What a splendid place. What a wonderful place. What a beautiful place. The older I get, the more friends I have in heaven. And I think about the description of this wonderful place, this holy city that God will send as Christ rules here on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Many of you have people in heaven. Do you ever think about this? You have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and people that you've known and loved over the years. Just what's it like for them? Well, this scripture teaches us very clearly that heaven is a planned new creation. Planned and built by a perfect architect. The architect of eternity that created the universe. The God that simply spoke all that we know and see and have into existence. The God that made all the laws of science. The God that created man. The perfect architect planned this city. And these first few verses tell us that in this planned new creation, that there are five things left out of it in God's plan. If you study biblical numerology, five is the number of grace, and it is God's grace that excluded these five things from His heaven. First, the Scripture says to us, there shall be no more sea. The last phrase in verse 1. What's the significance of no more sea? In the day that John penned this passage of Scripture, he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And all around him was the sea. And the sea were the trade lanes of commerce. And we learned what we learned about other men and other nations because we learned to travel the sea. And people became very wealthy from the sea and the merchant ships of the sea. And it was the center of man's commerce and man's wealth and all that man could do. But you see, there's no need for any sea in heaven. For God's the center of all of it. There's no need for any commerce there. And there's another interesting passage that's always impressed me, and I know that some people see no correlation here. But in my mind, it's a wonderful thought. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto our God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever. Because God delighteth in mercy, He'll turn again. He'll have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Well, if the sea's gone, and God has buried all the sins of those that love Him in the depths of the sea, where are our sins? Eternity is going to be a place where God's children live without any presence of sin whatsoever. No regrets for the past. No conviction or guilt. Because sin is completely gone. You know, you and I can't really imagine this. We've been born with a sinful nature and we live in a sinful world. And we really can't grasp what it means to be in a place free from all sin and the influence of sin. But the city that God's love has prepared for us is a city without any of the effects of sin. That's wonderful. He says there is no more sorrow there. The word means grief or disappointment. How many disappointments have you had in life? How many times have people let you down? How many times have you failed in something you wanted to do and planned to do? Some good thing that you wanted to carry out, and at the end you just didn't do it. You're overwhelmed by disappointment. Things don't turn out the way you expect or the way you pray or the way you think, and you're disappointed. My friends, there will be no disappointments in heaven forever. I'd say that's a great place to be. I think it's a wonderful place to spend eternity. No crying. No crying from discouragement. As a matter of fact, John said, when God comes to dwell in the midst of His people, He will wipe all the tears from their eyes. And that's the end of crying. No more discouragement. No more being downtrodden. Every day, a wonderful new day in the kingdom of God. No more pain because the presence of disease is gone. Can you imagine this? There are no hospitals in heaven because there's no disease. We will have perfect bodies given us by a perfect God. And the very presence of disease is gone. No more death. No graveyards in heaven. You'll never drive by a graveyard. No funeral homes in heaven. No funeral ceremonies or services because death is gone. In this new city that God has prepared for those of us that know Him and love Him, death is a thing of the past. What would it be like to live for eternity with no presence of death whatsoever. A planned new creation. No death because there's no devil. No discouragement because there's no sin. What a wonderful place. Secondly, heaven is provided with a new capital. Look at verse 2 of Revelation 21. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I must admit, 20 years ago when I was really studying this passage in depth and I was really, the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart and I thought, what a wonderful and a great place. And when I thought about a new capital, the thought I had might have been a shade carnal, but it just passed through my mind. No more Washington, D.C. It's gone. A perfect capital. No more Vatican. No, a new capital. The New Jerusalem. A place where God dwells in the midst of His people and God rules over His people. A perfect government. A theocracy. Where an all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving God deals individually with all of His people. What a capital. What a wonderful place. Galatians 4:26 calls it Jerusalem, which is above this city, which God has prepared and sends here. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful thought. It's a place that practices separation. Scripture tells us in verse 14 of John 21, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. It tells us the wall was very high in verse 12. It is separated just for God's people and God's place. And it's a place that's provided by suffering. Verse 13 and 14 and other verses in this passage talk about the apostles who were sacrificed, written by John who was suffering in prison for his service to Christ. Think of all the suffering, my young friends, that have gone on for all the years before us to provide for us the knowledge of God and a place in eternity. Think of the suffering of the Lord Jesus on the cross, almost unimaginable as He took upon Himself our sins. As God turned His back on Him and the world grew dark, and the word used for darkness there in the Greek means a darkness so thick that you could feel it. As Christ suffered for my sins and for your sins to provide us this wonderful place for all eternity. 12 gates of pearl, 12 tribes, and 12 foundations, and the names of the apostles. But at the center of all of this is Christ. It's a place that's prepared in absolute splendor. Look at verse 11. Having the glory of God or light was likened to a stone most precious, even likened to a jasper stone. Verse 18 of chapter 21, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. Look at verse 23. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Think of the splendor of this city when the streets are paved with gold. When these monstrous gates on a wall that's 216 feet high, according to the measurements in the book of the Revelation, each gate is one pearl carved from one single pearl. A pearl comes to us through suffering. That's how we got that city. Through the suffering that's gone on before us. The measurements of this city, it's a 1,500-mile cube. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. It comes down from heaven over Jerusalem. It has 2,250,000 square miles. A city that's 15 times larger than London. And the streets are paved with gold. It'll be a splendid place to live because of who's there. It says the Lord Jesus is the light of it and God's the center of it. And all those family members and friends we've had through the years that are Christians will be there with us. All of these friends and family that know Christ, what will our conversation be like? What a wonderful place to live because of who's there. But I'll tell you something else. It'll be a safe place to live because of who is not there. Look at verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My friends, one of the things that's going to make this city such a marvelous place to live in is the fact of who is not there. The unbelieving. Those who did not accept the premise of the Scripture and the messages of God. Those who rejected the truth of the gospel, not one single one of them, through all the pages of history, will be in this marvelous city. The abominable, those who hate or abhor God. We live in a society, in a world where people are casting God out of public education and trying to cause it to appear to children today there is no God. That God has no power, no influence, no place in the government, no place in the education. Well, those people won't be there. And that'll make it a safe place to live. The murderers who take the lives of other beings that God created. The whoremongers, those that defile the flesh. Those who are caught up in satisfying the thirst and hunger of this old flesh. And according to 1 Corinthians 6:9, the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There will be no homosexuals in heaven. It will be a safe place because who's not there? The sorcerers, the Greek word pharmakia, those that work enchantments and mysteries and witches and the fortune tellers, those that sell drugs, they won't be there. There won't be any drug problem in heaven. There won't be any alcoholics there that are alcoholics. Oh, some people have been saved from that. They're not that any longer, and they'll be there, and they'll appreciate it all the more they've been forgiven and the more they've been cleansed. All liars, all of those who have spent their lives in deceit and falsehood. No one will ever tell you a lie in heaven, my young friends. You'll never hear an ad or a campaign filled with falsehood. Can you imagine what this wonderful city that God's love has prepared is like for us? Can you imagine what eternity there is going to be like? Well, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." This will be a satisfying place to live because of what's there. The river of life is there. The river of life that we can drink from and be totally satisfied as man satisfies his hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the knowledge of God. And the tree of life is there. No more hunger. No more welfare programs. Everything's taken care of by God. Everything's provided for us by God. Heaven and the city that God's love prepared for us. A God with unlimited resources. An unlimited power. What's it going to be like when Christ returns to take us to that place? What's it like for those that have gone on before us? My young friends, we serve a great God, a wonderful God. a God who has made all this preparation for our future. Should we not be serving that God today? Should we not be interested in furthering this kingdom and populating this city? Should this not demand all of our attention and warrant all of our prayers? Think about it. There is a better tomorrow coming for those that love God. Are you prepared for it? If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you know Christ as your personal Savior, there are hundreds and hundreds of people on this campus that can tell you how to be saved. You talk to them. You ask some of your leaders that are with you. And those of you that were here, talk to faculty members if you're concerned about this. Death is just a transfer from this world to the real world and a place that you live forever. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Our minds are so limited when we try to fathom these wonderful truths You've told us. They're just beyond our comprehension, Lord. We can't grasp it, but we believe it. And in faith, we accept it. And like Abraham, we look for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Lord, we look forward to being with You and You being our God and us being Your people. In the day when You wipe all the tears from our eyes, dear God, help us to work as if we believe this is all true. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.